Greetings, everyone. Are you ready for an accelerated course in higher consciousness? This is how our global village will get ahead of the accelerated rate of change we are now seeing in the world. It won't be with the same consciousness that created the problems we see. It will be with a new consciousness that is now evolving with the angels of our better nature. Welcome to Cosmic Love.
Greetings, everyone. This is Christopher Rudy with Cosmic Love for Saturday, October 19th, 2013. It's my great pleasure today to be interviewing the author of Quantum Think, an amazing book by Diane Collins. And I thought today we'd give a little orientation before we go into it, a little bit about Diane. Those who have read the headline news on the BBS radio homepage or read the introduction to Diane that I provided on the Cosmic Love homepage, have a good brief introduction to her. I provided links there where you can go into more about Diane. I found that it's good to just give a little few-minute introduction to my guests before the show because sometimes people have a little that are new to the show have a little trouble plugging in and connecting for the first time. And then after that, it's usually pretty easy. So I thought I'd give a little orientation to Diane that I didn't give in the other introduction. There's a quote from Diane where she says, "My entire life has been devoted to the questions, how do we create the results we truly desire? With 6,000 years of wisdom available at the touch of a smartphone, how is it we're still not living it? From studying everything from physics to metaphysics, I made a few life-altering discoveries that led me to create the Quantum Think model, a system of thinking comprised of principles and practices that make it quick and easy for anyone to live the wisdom of science and spirituality in modern practical life, not just to know the principles, but to finally embody them and apply them in business and politics, personally, professionally, and globally. And I'm not talking about another how-to. I am talking about a momental wake-up, a momental wake-up in the way we think and live." That's a quote by Diane Collins. A little introduction to her through her own words. And we're going to be going into her book, The 21 Principles of Quantum Think, and how they leap us from the outdated old worldview limits of the industrial age to begin thinking from the more accurate and up-to-date new worldview of our quantum age. And as Diane puts it, old worldview equals circumstance rules. New worldview equals intent rules. So whatever you do in life, you have to deal with your mind. When you master your mind, you master your life. And this is what they didn't teach you in school. Again, that's a quote from Diane from her book, Diane Collins from her book, Quantum Think. Diane, I want to thank you so much for being with us today and sharing with us on Cosmic Love.
It is so much my delight to be here, Christopher, with you and everyone around the world. I know who are your listeners.
Yeah, well, it's an interesting niche, you might say. I like to think of it as the cutting edge of golden age, new age, quantum age, perhaps.
Right. People are calling it the age of consciousness, the quantum age. Well, it is a quantum age. It is,
and we've very rapidly gone through the industrial age to the communications age, information age, and we're definitely in the quantum age. But there's still a few laggards.
Right. That's what we're. When you were reading from what I wrote, really from my heart and soul. That it's interesting to me that you chose that, Christopher, because that really says it all for me. For me, it really is, now it's time to live it. And I feel that those of us, since my book came out, and it's been out for a while now, I have been on many, many radio shows and a little bit of TV, And it's so interesting to me to see how many thousands and millions of people around the world are listening, are tuning in, are practitioners, are healers, you know, the kind of people you have as guests and colleagues, and what I lovingly call the consciousness crowd. You know, so here's this consciousness crowd where we all know that we're in a time of, quote, the great shift, of an elevation in consciousness, of all of the ways that we speak about it, and yet it's still not mainstream. It's like it's like the biggest underground non-secret, right?
Yeah, non-secret.
Going on.
Yeah, and it's this whole concept of conscious evolution, the big shift, universal co-creation, all these themes, all these different individuals I've had on Cosmic Love discussed this. I mean, this is really the you might say the theme of Cosmic Love is conscious evolutionary ascension. You know, in other words, more light and love, easier and faster.
Yeah, I read that on your websites, and I'm, you know, of course, right in tune with it. And for me, it's about it's about not having it be underground. It's about really merging, like you say, there are a few laggards, right? Quite a few laggards. But what happened to me, Christopher, is that my whole life, you know, I would say I became conscious at a very early age, maybe 4 years old, I remember. And, you know, to just fast forward, as a teenager, I would look around, and even then, I mean, now we have the internet, so I don't know whether we've, in a certain way, you know, we're exposing the lack of awakening, or it's always been there, and we just... whether it's gotten worse or whether it's just been there and now, you know, we're more aware of it because of our amazing, wonderful communications. But what happened for me is I realized as a teenager that it would have to be, you know, there was this big disconnect between the virtuous life that we all aspire to.
Yeah.
And, you know, all the wisdom, and that's why I say wisdom available at the touch of a smartphone, 6,000 years or more, it's all there. It's like we know what to do. We know how to be. So my question is, okay, well then why aren't we? And as I went along in my discovery, I got connected with Dr. Fred Alan Wolf. Are you familiar with him? I don't know if you've ever
Just from your writing,
show.
Yeah.
Okay,
from your writing.
You know, he did write the foreword to Do You Quantum Thing. And he's a quantum physicist, a theoretical physicist, but he's, you know, very lively, very, you know, I feel one of the most brilliant forward thinkers on the planet at this moment. And people may know him because he was in the movie What the Bleep Do We Know,
mm-hmm.
and also in The Secret. But anyway, so we were working on something together, and he showed me how scientists make discoveries and they invent new language because they discover something. So, you know, they have to distinguish it in some way. And you know, my work, Quantum Think, is a system of thinking. It's not about science. It's about how the discoveries of science shape the way we think. Because if right, as you think, so you become, if thinking creates reality, then what creates thinking? That was my question. So anyway, I'm just, you know, really wanted to share this with everyone, that I met Fred Alan Wolf, and he showed me this, and I use the example, because everyone knows it, this term quantum leap. So, you know, this came into the language, in English anyway, about 1927, because the father of quantum physics, you know, Max Planck, they discovered that energy moves not in a smooth, continuous way, but in leaps that he called you know, like packets of energy that he called quanta, because everybody's going, you know, quantum age, quantum this, quantum healing. Well, what does it actually mean? You know, and it really originally meant an amount. You know, it has many meanings, but an amount, the smallest unit of, let's say, energy that could be measurable. But what happens is, so quantum leap, the idea is that you have a shift in state, and I think this is what's really important about us, all of us right now, in terms of the that we are in a universe of that functions in quantum leaps, and that we can change our state consciously. Now, you know, some people say, well, when is it going to happen? You know, the critical mass or how many people
how is it
or
happening?
All of it.
And you, so you kind of go through the evolution of that, actually, in the book in different sections where you go through, you might say, there's been principles, quantum reality throughout history, but it's kind of like Marshall McLuhan, the medium is the message, and the medium has changed, and the message has changed. There's a new message. This whole quantum media, you know, the quanta, the field, it has a new message, and it's actually an old message. It's like Chief Seattle, you know, said, man did not weave the web of life. He is merely a strand in it. Whatever he does to the web, he does to himself. That's quantum physics.
Yes, it is. And this is really the beauty of it, is that quantum physics is now verifying, proving. I used to laugh to myself when I would read these things, because I would read, oh, well, they figured out that our minds really are, you know, communicating mind to mind. And I would kind of have a cosmic smile, a cosmic love smile, you know, inwardly. And I'd say, oh, well, it took them a few thousand years, but they finally figured it out. But any, you know, because these, a lot of the ancient wisdom, as you just pointed out, you know, they already knew it. But there is something to, you know, because, you know, what I write about is that we're still in the crisis awakening mode, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, 9/11, I mean, just even the thing that we're, you know,
fear mode.
That you're what's going on with the United States Congress and, you know, all these splits and everything. But at the same, so we know that simultaneously, what's being exposed is all of the systems that are no longer working.
Industrial age,
and
command and control, top down, highly centralized versus bottom up, decentralized, quantum, you know, grassroots networks.
Right. And so this is great, because simultaneously we have to then use conscious awakening, not crisis awakening, personally and, you know, collectively. But I wanted to go back to finish that point about Fred Alan Wolf. So, because that was my great revelation, Christopher, is that he showed me about, okay, a quantum leap. Okay, that comes into our language, you know, what is it? It's anything that's discontinuous with the past, that you cannot trace, you know, a linear, logical, visible pathway. So it's a shift in state. It's an instantaneous shift in state. So when you map this on, and I looked at it and I thought, you know what? What's creating our thinking? It's not just one thought at a time. It's not isolated thoughts. It's that, why aren't we living the wisdom when we know what to do? Because our thinking takes place, like everything in the universe, as a system.
Yeah.
And the system is based in, you know, and you've been mentioning it, the worldview, the prevailing worldview. So even though we're in a quantum age with all these new discoveries that are, you know, verifying the ancient wisdom, but our thinking as a culture, as a human culture, is still very much conditioned, programmed by the old, what I lovingly call the old worldview, the industrial age worldview. So what
I call it, the linear lockstep left brain letter of the law that killeth the right brain spirit of the law.
I know, but you see, if you're quantum thinking, wait a minute, we'll take this to a new place, but that is so clever and funny, is that you, when you can make the distinction in what's shaping your thinking, it's not like we throw out the linear logic.
That's right.
That taught us to be analytical. You know, it was literally called the classical mechanical worldview. So I say, you know, not to insult any of us, but we, let's say at that stage of evolution, we became very much automatic and mechanical too. But, you know, the main thing is that the science of that time and all the genius of the science that gave rise to machine, you know, they said universe as machine, divided into parts, but the important statement was only the physical is real. Only physical matter is real. So when you realize that all of our institutions, you know, the either or, predict and control, would have to be an either or, right? To predict and control nature, you'd have to say it's either this way or that way. But that has subtly, excuse me, influenced the way that we think. So that we, in the physical dimension, we look separate. We look different. Objects look separate from us. But now we know that all of that is, you know, as I say it like this, there are distinctions, but no actual separations. Because when you're living fully dimensionally in, you know, I distinguish in my book, Do You Quantum Think?, seven dimensions, you know, it's an infinite possibility universe. You could distinguish
multiple dimensions, yeah.
Yes, but, you know, the physical, the energetic, the virtual. And when you realize that our culture is really based, maybe not so much the Eastern cultures as much, but on this old world view, that you realize, well, when I say this is what they didn't teach you in school, we don't learn about what's called non-local mind field connections. The Akashic
the non-linear intuitive connection to the collective conscience of all that is.
That's exactly right. So we don't, you know, I say we don't learn what I call the five natural faculties of mind: the power of intent, the faculty of intuition. This is all part of how, you know, how did these great chiefs and great, you know, Eastern masters...
How did they know? How did they just know? And that concept of how did the three wise men just know that the star wasn't just a star, it was the life stream of a great soul incarnating, you know, and that in the field there was something big happening, and they all just said, you know, let's go there. I mean, how did they just
know? Let's go there. This looks good.
This looks good. Ooh, this is you know, let's check this out, you know, and it's the concept of the field. The unified field, the quantum field. When I had Lynn McTaggart on the show a year or so ago, she talked about how the fields of the Earth. We discussed this. How the left hemisphere of the Earth and the east hemisphere of the Earth correspond in the field, and this is the part of the quantum model that she references. Corresponds to the left and right hemispheres of the brain, and
yeah,
in Western,
that makes perfect sense because it's a holographic.
It's all connected, and the more I've got into this, the understanding of, and we discussed this on the show, how Western civilization reads left to right with symbols, you know, of symbols, you know, letters and words, both, you know, which are twice removed from the truth, you know, just symbols of symbols. In the Eastern Hemisphere, they have these holistic calligraphy ideographs that are like pictographs that reference the right brain, and they read right to left. In other words,
that is really interesting.
They're reading from the right brain, from the right to the left brain, from the whole to the parts. We read from the parts to the whole, from the left to the right.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Very interesting. Very interesting. I never heard it said that way, and I'm familiar with Lynn McTaggart's work. So, you know, I like to bring this to something, you know, very practical, which is to say, if your thought, you know, thinking gets a bad rap because, you know, we're all now wanting to connect to the heart and everything. But when you realize, when I use mind, you know, when you master your mind, you master your life, that I'm using mind, Christopher, in the sense of whatever we hold in our awareness. So it's not just the cognitive, you know, left brain, as I call it, click, click, clicking. It's the totality. It's
right, the whole brain
that we have in consciousness and in the awareness, which is, you know, that connection of the heart, all of it, the yearning of the soul, and including thinking. So when you realize that, let's say that our thinking is, most of the time, we're not actually choosing our thoughts, yet our patterns of thinking are shaping, right? Based in, you know, thought. It's like intent expressed as thought, experienced as that inner feeling, you know, the feeling tone of the body or inner knowing.
That's right.
That manifests, that resonates and connects and manifests, and that this is going on all the time. So when you realize that there is a mind field, right? Now,
it's
you were
a gold mine.
The brain.
It's a gold mine if only we mined it. But it's an explosive opportunity if you step on the mine.
you are so funny. You should be asking.
Well, I like playing with this stuff because humor kind of cuts through. Humor cuts through.
It does. But when you think about the mind field. Mind, not mine.
Yeah. The mind field.
I love the gold mine.
If you mind
the golden mind field. That we're, because we are all connected through this field of mind, I call the thoughtosphere, like we have a biosphere, that we are picking up thoughts that are not even our own.
Yeah.
And so this is the very practical way. It's like, how do we, you know, well, what is the access to actually mastering this? You know, we could talk about it from here until... So, but my mission is let's get this integrated. So when you begin to make these distinctions, as we're making right now in this moment, and you realize, well, wait a minute. You know, most of the thoughts that come, I call them least action pathways, the way the energy or the thought goes, just because it's been that route before, and most of which aren't even ours. They're just in the cultural milieu, in the thoughtosphere, so that we don't have to own every thought that comes flying into our mind, our local mind. And when you can do this and you realize, oh, wait a minute, you know, would I have a less than cosmic loving, I love the name of your show and your project, would I have less than a cosmic loving thought about myself or others if I were truly at choice? And, you know, you answered
that. That's a good point.
Right?
It's the greatest power we have is the power to make a choice moment to moment, and we build momentum as habit because we are what we believe, we become what we believe, we are what we think, we become what we thought, we are what we feel, we become what we felt, we are what we do, we become what we did. And so the momentum we build moment to moment becomes the filter in the future of you know, the habit.
That's it. And so I heard you say on another show, you know, and this is what is actually being proven by the cutting edge physicists, is that we condition the field And in turn, mm-hmm. the field conditions us back. I don't. You didn't say exactly, but
we shape. We shape our environment, and then our environment shapes us.
Right. And so you realize, well, in every moment we have the opportunity to choose, but to the extent that these automatic and mechanical type thoughts are coming mm-hmm. in. And
old
we're
record.
Identifying with them, right, or owning them, or thinking, you know, oh, you know, I'm having that thought because, you know, my mother said this to me when I was four years old. I mean, from my perspective, we don't need that old worldview analysis to actually live a conscious life. What do you think about that?
I agree, and for those who tuned in a little bit later in the show, let me do a little bit of a station break here. I'm interviewing Diane Collins, the author of Quantum Think, and we've been going through some different aspects of her book, the process she refers to as Quantum Think. And I haven't mentioned this before, but Diane is what I call a practical visionary. She's what I call one of my objectives in life is what I call spiritual practicality, you know, taking the highest and best concepts and stepping them down, you know, here on earth as is it in heaven, so to speak. And as a practical visionary, she consults all different types of, and I haven't mentioned this before, but visionary leaders and senior executives and the world's leading corporations. I mean, many of them from AT&T, CNN, DuPont, McKinsey and agencies of the U.S. government, entrepreneurs, politicos, homemakers, movie stars, students, celebrities, evolutionaries worldwide. I mean, she's got an extraordinary track record as a consultant, basically positioning, packaging, and promoting the quantum concepts that are whole enough, bold enough, and told enough that ideally they become a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Does this kind of just roll off your tongue like this? So your way of articulating is amazing.
Well, I play around with these concepts,
yeah.
And you know, it's like the conscious evolution is kind of the theme of the show, and I have people on the show that get me playing with this and thinking about it. And your thing with intention is such a central concept to what I've been, you know, basically coming around to with this, I call it the cosmic love model, you know, and that model is that it is pure intention that focuses attention with love's retention, cosmic love.
That is exactly right. And so this is why it becomes so essential. I mean, if we said, you know, you were talking about me as a practical visionary, and that's true. And listen, I like to be just as metaphysical and out there as, you know, I'm serious. You know, I'm an avid student of astrology for many, many years. I had a mentor who was an extraordinary clairvoyant. I mean, you know, I've studied mastery with master energy healers and everything.
So you've really been in what I call in the trenches. And your astrology thing is, and I wanted to reference that real quick, because the astrology psychology of, you know, basically quantum field thinking with this understanding of as above, so below, the kingdom of heaven's within us, you know, the energy field of universe, for example, right now, today, we're in the midst of a three-day, really unique full moon with this, in the understanding of this full moon in Aries, but the sun is in Libra, and this is a cardinal fire and air axis in the collective consciousness of humanity, because the Earth is between the sun and the moon with this full moon, and there's a 3-day kind of like, you know, alignment with this field, with the whole field of Earth. At this time, there's this cardinal fire and cardinal air. Air feeds the fire, and there's this, like, you know, the expression is when you're hot, and when you're not, you're not. But there's a lot of...
We're hot right now, right?
We're hot right now.
And a lunar eclipse on top of that, right?
Lunar eclipse. In other words, it was, the alignment was such that there was a penumbral eclipse, it's called, where it's casting. It wasn't a full eclipse, but it was enough that it was that tight. And again, the field, the quantum field, the larger field, you know, cosmos, that whole field in the zodiac called Aries and the whole field called Libra, with the sun and the moon in alignment with the earth, basically aligning the energies. So there's an alignment with these energies of cosmos, energies of, you know, the larger field of universe, streaming through the collective consciousness of humanity, the left and right hemispheres of the earth and left and right hemispheres of our brains. And it's triggering, for a lot of people, it's triggering relationship stuff, because this 3-9 axis in the cosmic clock, so to speak, between Aries and Libra, you know, that's like where the rubber meets the road as far as relationships go.
Right.
And it can be relationships like this, you know, like me
and
speaking with you.
And relationship, that's right. And relationship with self.
With self.
You know, this
that's
Aries,
right.
According, you know, I've been studying with particularly one teacher, astrology, for many years. And I love, her name is Brenda Brush. I should give her an acknowledgement. And also wanted to acknowledge, well, I'll tell you that later. But anyway, so on this Aries, it's very interesting about the relationship, because she's always talking about how lunar eclipse,
yeah,
activating the Uranus and Aries, you know, the 7-year cycle that's going on, which is higher mind,
right,
and which has to do with that all of us, it's time for us to show not a new identity, but let's say the authentic identity, the authentic who we are.
Real self.
In a new way, right.
Yeah.
The authentic self, and then the Libra polarity, as you're talking about, makes,
mm-hmm,
that turns it into like, and okay, what is our relationship to ourself? And who are the people that we want to be related to now in, you know, how do we create our relationships now? Because as you and I know, it's all about consciously generating the relationship, our relationship to our thinking, our relationship to ourself. And in this time where we're in this tremendous transition and, you know, speaking of astrology, right?
Psychology, yeah.
The restructuring, the breaking up of the old foundations that may have served us, humanity, till now, but no longer are efficient or sufficient. I'm getting like you now in my language.
Well, this is why I'm thrilled to have you on the show right now, because the timing, and for your book and these concepts, is perfect. It's just the Aries thing, as I understand it from cosmic clock astrology, it is the real self, the higher self, the Christ self. It is independent. It is like the pioneer, but it moves ahead. It's got the arrows in the back, because it really is just doing what's, so to speak, right in the higher way, no matter what the laggards say. You know,
that's right.
But the Libra is the polarity of that, is how everything is connected. It's relationships with everything instead of the sense of separation. That, you know, moving ahead, the pioneer, you know, the new frontier of inner space. It's more like the collective consciousness and the momentums and the habits and the relationships thereby, because it's there's a higher self and a lower self in the Libra, just as there is a higher self and the lower self, you know, in the Aries.
Right.
But the well-aspected Libra is really like Holy Spirit, girl child. I mean, it's like that inner child, that Holy Spirit that's just sweet, innocent, and it's connected. And it's when I say Holy Spirit, it's like love in action. It's like,
it is. It's that harmony, right?
It's the harmony. It corresponds more to the right hemisphere intuitive thinking, whereas the Aries is the higher mental and more of the higher left brain thinking.
Right. So this is, you know, it's so interesting that, you know, when you're talking about all these cardinal, called the cardinal
fire and air,
which is all about action,
Right? Action. Yep.
So we're all supposed to be in action right now, and that's why it's sort of like I'm asking everyone listening and being in this conversation with us, because I, you know, this is thinking holistically and holographically. That's the first distinction, the first principle in the quantum thing system, because this is just, I'm just distinguishing what we already know but bringing it to light, is that we're in one conversation here. Regard beyond time, space, you know, ordinary chronological time, physical space limitations, no matter how we're listening, you know, in the world of the internet. And so wherever you are listening in this conversation right now, the listening is as integral and important to this conversation as are the speakers. In this case right now, it's you and me. And so when you look at this Aries Libra, you know, and it's the cardinal that we're all, I know what I was going to say, that I'm really calling upon all of us to get out from, you know, being in the alternative consciousness, you know, and really bring this into our lives, into our everyday, as you called me, practical visionary, that it's time for us to be the integrating factors, that we're not just talking about this, you know, with one another.
But we're mainstreaming the message.
We're mainstreaming the message. And, you know, you named all the companies that I've worked with, and I want to acknowledge my husband, Alan Collins, who's my partner in business and in life for over 20 years. And, you know, he's a master quantum think coach and consultant, and this is what we do. And when you know, it's really interesting, Christopher, because what we're talking about, when it's distinguished for people, as you say, when you mainstream, instead of mainlining it, mainstreaming it, that love vibe, but in these, in this real terminology, that what they, you know, people get it. So they want it because this is what's, it's a universal chord in all of us. So it's not, even the people that you think, oh my God, you know, are they ever going to awaken? But we have to, I think, if we're the way that we create reality, with the dynamic of intent, and that it's beyond space-time, so we know that we have to be resonating as if it already is this way.
Yeah.
So that's why you said at the very beginning, I say, old worldview, circumstance rules, new worldview, intent rules, because we have to actually almost like fool our senses by going beyond what the existing or the obvious set of circumstances are, and hold in our own being. We are the ones holding that vibration.
Holding the vision,
right.
The vision, the vibration, the intention, the attention, the retention for ascension in a dimension where love rules.
Voila, and amen. That's true. And, you know, I may like to make a distinction between intention and intent. And I know these two are really, you know, commonly used interchangeably, but I think it's an important distinction. It's not just, you know,
I think it is, too. I've had actually a lot of different people take me to task on intent, and I sometimes use the expression pure intention, and I've been told that's redundant, because just intent by itself is pure.
Yeah, that's a good point. But, you know, but I think if I make the distinction this way, you know, distinctions are created. If, you know, the fundamental, what's the most beautiful thing about the quantum worldview I'm talking about from a scientific perspective is that because of the uncertainty, right? The uncertainty principle, is it a particle, is it a wave, or, you know, you can't measure the velocity and the location of an energy particle at the same time? Of course not, because it's logic, right? This is analytical law. Energy in flux, that's our universe. So you wouldn't be able to pin it down and stop it. So it's a non-static, or we could say there are no absolute realities.
Except, and the observer always affects the reality.
Exactly.
That's the huge point. I think of intention is, and the real breakthrough with quantum physics when they came around to the point that whenever there was people observing the quantum experiments, it affected the experiment. The observer, the intent that was involved, and I can tell you a story about this that kind of anchors it if you've got a moment.
Sure.
This concept of, this is a big one. I was working with a guy that developed one of the first quantum computers with ultramolecular diagnostics of the energy fields of the body. And this is back around 1990, and he was the first guy to computerize the periodic table of quantum biology, and he put it on the guy that developed it at Isaacs, Dr. Isaacs at Johns Hopkins University, developed this. He actually developed the original heart-lung. He helped develop and finalize the heart-lung machine, but he went on to develop the first heart bypass surgery at Johns Hopkins University. He was a brilliant guy. They got rid of him at Johns Hopkins because he wrote an article in the New England Medical Journal that 95% of the heart bypass surgery that he pioneered was being abused by insurance. But in the dark night of the soul for him, he came out of it and developed this periodic table of quantum biology. And Bill, this friend of mine, with a 386 computer, took a biofeedback interface could take about 5,000 homeopathics, nutritionals, phenolics, vitamins, and minerals, and had them wrapped up in circuits, the different items, and could cycle it into the etheric sheath. Thief of the body, on your wrists and your ankles, and would wire people up with their foreheads and their whole body, and it would cycle the energies into there into the energy fields, the etheric sheath right on the surface of the body, and the body would respond, the biofeedback, and process it through this periodic table of quantum biology, and sort out what was working best, homeopathic, nutritional, in terms of the endocrine system, the digestive system, the different systems of the body. This guy came out of, he was into quantum physics with NASA, and he was a young guy, and he took it and ran with these concepts and put this together. He had to leave the country, and he sells these systems now on cruise ships in international waters so the feds can't get it.
Wow.
But in any regard,
this is where we want to make that change. So that
happening. Yeah, it's happening. I believe it's going to happen very fast, very soon.
Because when we can, I look at nature and we look at, I know you have an expression about God being, geometry. How do you say it?
Geometry. Yeah. Geometric ordered divinity, G-O-D, the geometry
and,
of divinity.
And, when you look at it, so the divine has made everything as a container. So when you think, our industrial age thinking system, right, is a limiting container. So we haven't yet I want to talk about it as if it already is happening, as you are too, but as we expand the container, let's say, from which we think, the basis from which we think, then when these ideas and these discoveries, what you're talking about, then people can accept them. Right now we have that when we don't make this distinction in our own thinking, even those of us who are on the conscious path, our goal is ascension and all of it, even we have these automatic thought patterns and that we can become aware of when you make what I call the whole system quantum leap and you expand the basis from what you think. So you were talking about the observer effect.
Yeah.
So this is how I don't know whether you got to that part into your quantum thing, but this, so the second principle is called, is based on the observer effect, called observer creative reality. So if you think, well, in science they said the instrument of observation was affecting what was being observed. So I think, well, what is the instrument of observation for human beings? It's our own mind, our own consciousness. So you have to then think, well, what do we bring to our observations? So if you want it as a practice, I call this shift a predictable outcome. And this is, you know, you're talking about the Aries-Libra polarity and the
left brain, right brain connection, yeah.
Right. The importance of these relationships right now, right? I'm talking about ordinary because, you know, this is our life every day. It's who we're related with and how we relate with them. So we come as enlightened as we like to think of ourselves. These judgments, right? Judgments.
Mm-hmm.
Come in to the thoughtosphere, to your own mind sphere.
And you can't be blessing and cursing at the same time.
Exactly. So when you look, that's exactly right. That's the right, the foot on the pedal and the brake at the same time. So that will interfere, by the way, what you just said, with the power of intent, because
right.
you're not making that real, you know, that connection to divine intelligence because you've got all static on the radio of your being. So getting back, so if you can, when you become aware of what am I bringing to my observation that's going to shape, we use this with our clients, going into a meeting with someone and you think, oh, this person is difficult to deal with. Well, you can become aware of, oh, you've made an automatic conclusion about this person, and intent, getting back to intent and intention, intent, I'll use it in the shamanic sense, is what you hold in your being. So intent is vibrational, where intention could be a future, you know, someday maybe goal that follows a course of action. It can also be thought of as, obviously, vibrational, everything is. But when you hold intent, that is an unaware intent, and we exist in connected fields, and you're going into the field of a business meeting, a family dinner, whatever it is, but you're with another person, and you're holding in your unaware intent field this conclusion, then what is quantum thinking? You realize, oh, there are no fixed realities. Just because I have a thought or a conclusion doesn't make it, quote, the truth. Now, if I were creating my reality consciously with this person, connecting with this person, what would I want to create right now? And this is what we teach and, you know, work with our clients. We've done this, you know, we did it in years ago. We were working in one of the Assistant Secretary of Defense, principal deputy and his directors. And I always remember this, that one of them said to me, you know, and, you know, they went through the 21 quantum think principles, and, you know, we apply it to what they're working on specifically. But I remember one guy saying to me, you know, just that one thing, all we do is have meetings here. You know, that's mostly how the world functions. And he said, every time I go into a meeting, I ask myself, what is my intent? I create a conscious intent. Sometimes it can be said verbally to the other person, you know, the group, my intent here is. But it's because we're vibrationally connected, it doesn't matter. It's more than vibrational, you know, it's all of the above because it's multidimensional. Consciousness is not necessarily even vibrational. No one really knows what it is.
Well, referencing our connection. I'm getting a beeping on my phone, which indicates my battery for my phone could be going out, and it's about the end of the show, usually when I wrap it up anyway. So So if for some reason that we get cut off, I want to thank everyone for listening and Diane for you being on the show. Otherwise, my intent is to continue speaking.
Okay, good, but I'm glad you let us know. But anyway, that was just to make it short because I want to hear, you know, how you want to, you know, close out the conversation. But the point is that just knowing that you could create your intent consciously, you can shift a predictable outcome with another person, with your relationship with yourself,
and with yourself. And that's the point I was wanting to make about the electrodiagnostic field analysis that I was doing, is that when these individuals were being tested with the scan, when a friend of mine who was a master of invocation invoked angels, elementals, you know, cosmic beings and spirits, there was just a lot more energy in the system, and I did this over and over and again, just doing a regular diagnosis and invoking basically cosmic light, and for whatever reason, it objectified it and showed it up on the quantum electrodiagnostic scan in the energy field with a periodic table of quantum biology, processing and sorting it out. And it was like a quantum objective proving that when the intent was for spiritual intercession, overshadowing, you know, protection, etc., there was just a lot more clarifying information and data making it more clear what needed attention in the body and what would work to make it whole. Now, that's
brilliant. And it makes perfect sense.
It does.
Doesn't it?
It does.
And, you know, I've heard of a lot. I've been listening lately to some lectures online about this new experimentation that's going on, like proof, like what you just said, Christopher, where there is, like, there's no, it's not even questionable anymore. It's been proven over and over and over again. And so the more we talk about these things, these very important conversations that you have with all your guests and what you offer yourself, a veritable, right, what do we call it, like, unlimited fountain of knowledge.
I like to think of it as a feast. I mean,
is a feast. But, you know, and it's really so wonderful because this is why it's so important to start to work with the faculties of mind. And I always use the invoking. You know, we can,
invocation.
Because we're connected, what are we connected to,
right? That's right.
It's
a silent invocation or otherwise, the word made flesh, and at least the physical registering in consciousness of a prayer and invocation of intent, and I really think that the physical word made flesh with the science of invocation, science of the spoken word, has a powerful effect also. And with that, we're pretty much near the end of our show. I wasn't going to run this long, Diane, but I...
Oh, really? Well, I want to thank you so much for having
me. You're
welcome. And for the conversation. You're so brilliant, and it's just a wonderful show.
Your book is brilliant. I highly recommend it for anyone. It's a chance. Get Quantum Think. There's so much in it. You can open it at any part, you know, from a right brain thing and just do the synchronicity of going into any part. I've enjoyed doing that. Or you can go through the table of contents and what comes to your mind and go into the... this is one of the top 10 books you want to have. To review once a year, just open it up and just do some scanning. So, Diane, I want to thank you
for that.
Do you quantum think? Check that out. Get it. Take it from the library, or just get it. Get a used version, whatever. But have that for your ongoing quantum think, onwards and upwards, more easier and faster, light, life, and love. Intention, attention, retention, ascension. You know, in the dimension where love rules. So thanks, Diane.
Thank you. Thank you, Christopher.
And thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll be back in a couple of weeks. Bye for now.